but it can get away from you. I enjoy the PowerPoint and having that, and it's handy, but I never had a hymn book. Power flicker on me and reset. All right. Guess what, men? It's your turn, right? All right. I singled out our ladies on Mother's Day, of course, and now it's you guys' turn. I always struggle with a Mother's Day sermon because, you know, in case you hadn't noticed, I'm not very womanly. And so you're kind of talking about what somebody else says about what it's like to be a mom, and so I feel out of place when I preach on Mother's Day since I'm not a mother. I'm a lot more comfortable, men, when I talk about Father's Day since I are one. And so that means you may be in trouble, right? All right. Well, guys, have you noticed something? One of the greatest problems in American life today is the feminization of men. I want you to notice the title of the message, Real Men. There is an effort in our society to try to turn men into women. The feminist movement tried to sell America on the idea that there was no difference between a man and a woman. But those stubborn facts of biology, they just refuse to go away, don't they? Time magazine a few years ago had a featured article. It was their cover story. And it was discussing the difference between men and women. And it discussed why men and women are different. And the result of that article was so surprising. After all of their research and conclusion, they came to this at the end of the article. The reason why men and women are so different is because they were born that way. Well, duh, you know. I read that article, and it was just so shocking to come to that conclusion. You know this. Men and women are different. Our brains are wired differently. For example, now, these are generalizations. I know some men who like to shop. But for a typical woman, shopping tends to be more of a social event. For a man, if you're like me, you know what you want, and your goal is to defeat that mall. I'm going to figure out what store has that item I want. I'm going to figure out where I can park closest. What's the entrance nearest to that store in that mall? And I'm going to get in there and get out. And if I come out with only the one thing I went in to get, and hopefully did not run into anybody else I know, so I have to spend time socializing, and I can come out, I have defeated that mall, and I win. All right? That's the way we look at it. You can see it on playgrounds in every schoolyard in America. Boys and girls are different. When the boys choose up sides for their games that they play, they choose based on ability. When girls choose up sides, it's based on who's my friend. It's relationship. When boys are playing sports and another boy gets hurt and they just drag him off the field, get him out of the way so we can continue on with the game, right? When a little girl gets hurt, nothing wrong with this, it's just different. The girls gather around the injured one to lend encouragement and support. Men and women, we're just different from one another. So keeping that in mind, today I want to talk to you about the role of a man in the family. It's different from the role of the mother in the family. Now, I've been encouraged in the last few years, in the last decade, that we've seen more of an emphasis again on manhood in America and the responsibility of men. But yet, there are a lot of guys in our culture now that really haven't been taught what it means to truly be a real man. There's a lot of bad role models out there. Everything from the disengaged cowboy that you see in the movies who rides off in the sunset and who's the loner. That's a terrible role model for men. To the gangster culture that's prominent in so many places. Terrible role model for men. We just got a lot of guys that don't know what it means to be a real man. And so if you are a godly Christian man with a backbone, as I'm preaching to you today, fellas, also note that you have a charge to make sure your sons know what a godly Christian man is, to be an example to co-workers and those other men that you may know who don't fully understand what being a real man in Jesus is all about. Take serious that role, that of influence that God has given you. Now, I also know that when I stand up and preach, that oftentimes I'm preaching in front of folks that are in a single parent family, whether you're a single parent or grew up in a single parent home. I'm not wanting to say anything today to try to discourage you. In fact, I want you to know that if you're growing up in a single-parent home, or if you grew up in a single-parent home, or you're a single-parent yourself, know that God has a special help for you. You can read a wonderful verse, Psalm 68 and verse 5, and you can claim this promise for yourself, where God said in Psalm 68, 5, that he will be a father to the fatherless, a judge of the widows is God in his holy habitation. And that verse is saying, very simply, that God will help you in that situation. So I don't want you to take anything I'm saying today and feel bad about it. But I do want you to know, everybody, that God's ideal for a family is for a father and a mother to be together raising the children. Now, I'm going to use a passage of Scripture today from the New American Standard that most people tend to understand as its first meaning, which is correct, that it's primarily dealing with the role of a husband in relation to a wife. But I want you to see by extension that this same defining role also applies to the husband, the father in the home's relationship with the children and the rest of the family. So let's look in Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 21. Ephesians 5, beginning in verse 21. Wives, be subject to your own husbands. Verse 21. And be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I am speaking with reference to Christ and the church. Nevertheless, each individual among you also is to love his own wife even as himself, and the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with the promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. What is said here about the husband's responsibility to the wife can also be said about his responsibilities to the family. So let me share with you these responsibilities, that if you'll take up these responsibilities, men, you will truly be a real man. So let's look at real man responsibility number one. Real man responsibility number one is to love your family. Love your family. You didn't have to come to church today to find that out, right, men? You know you're supposed to love your family. And I'm sure that you do love your family. But what I want to spend a moment here on is that I want you to think about what really is involved with loving your family. There are some illustrations here in Ephesians 5 that Paul gives us that tells us how a man is to love his family. Three times in these verses we are told, husbands, love your wives. In verse 25, husbands, love your wives. Verse 28, so husbands ought to also love their own wives as their own bodies. Verse 33, nevertheless, each individual among you is to love his own wife even as himself. He tells us three times, love our wives. Then he illustrates it. You see his illustration in verse 25? Love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. Men, love your families the way Jesus loves his church. How does Jesus love the church? The love of Jesus for his church is selfless. It's a sacrificial love, is it not? Jesus loved the church. He loves sinners. He loves you and me so much that he was willing to sacrifice his very life's blood for us. That's how we as men are to love our families. We are to love our families so much that we're willing to give our last drop of blood for them. We're talking about a sacrificial love. It's not trying to buy the love of your family by giving them things. It's not bartering with your family for love, saying, well, if you do this and this, then I will give you my love. It's not a conditional love where you say, I will love you if. It is an unconditional, sacrificial love. I also want you men to note that love is a verb. It is not a noun. Love is not something that you feel. Love is something that you do. Love is a decision that you make every day. I am going to love my wife. I am going to love my children no matter what. It's that conscious decision. I will put them first. They go ahead of me in all things. That's what it means to love your wife and your children like Jesus loves the church. So not only does the Bible say that we're to love our wives and our children like Jesus loved the church, but also in verse 28, did you notice what else Paul said? That we're to love them like our own bodies. Now, we men love our bodies. Now, we may not be exercise nuts and run miles, and some of our bodies are in shape. It's round, but round is a shape. That's not what he's saying. But we make sure, men, our bodies get fed, don't we? We make sure that our bodies are clothed. What Paul is saying is, no man in his right mind is going to clench up his fist and beat himself up. We're to take care of our families just as we take care of ourselves. Make sure they're fed. Make sure they're clothed. Make sure they're cherished and nurtured. That's how we're to love our family. Now, those are the illustrations of this, but let's get to the application of this. I want you to, in your Bibles, turn to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. 1 Peter 3, 7. Remember that what is said about husbands applies to fathers and members of the family here. We're extending the application. Now let's look at 1 Peter 3, 7. You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with someone weaker, since she is a woman. Ladies, don't throw rocks at me now. And show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered. Did you see what it said there? First, we are to live with our wives in an understanding way. That means, guys, there's got to be some comprehension on our part of what's going on with our wives and our children. It means that as a father, you need to do your best to understand the members of your family. Every member of your family is distinct. Each child is different. Every single person under your roof needs special observation from you and care. I see this in my own children. I have three children. Last time I checked, they have the same parents. They really do. They have the same upbringing. But all three of them are different. Out of my three, no two are alike. I see it in my own family that I grew up in. I have one brother. My brother and I, we kind of look alike. We go to the same barber. We have the same basic shape, round. But we are night and day different. We have the same parents. We grew up doing the same things. But we're different. If you have a dozen children, you'll find that you have a dozen different personalities. That's amazing to me. They have the same mom, but yet they're so different. I think of my kids. Man, I could like try to spank one of them, and all I'm going to get is a cold, hard stare, and there will not be a teardrop. In fact, I remember one time giving a spanking to one of my own children. And one of my children just looked at me and said, "Is that all you got, old man?" And I had to say, as a matter of fact, it's not. All right? So I got one like that. I won't name that child. I'll leave that for you to figure out. And then I've got another one. I don't have to spank. All I got to do is look at him and frown. And this child will be repentant. And there will be carrying on and crying and tears. And I didn't do anything but frown at that child. All right. That's the way we are. But as a dad, I've got to understand that, those differences. And so I'm not going to discipline all my children the same way. Because what works with one child isn't going to necessarily work with another child. And then did you see what it said there in Peter's writings? Show her honor. That means courtesy. Shouldn't we treat our families with the same courtesy that we would treat a guest in our home? And it also says that our wives are to be treated as a fellow heir of the grace of life. Should be the sense of grace, the grace of God in our family. Where we understand that it is God who has brought us together as a couple and brought the children into our homes. We're to stand by one another through the years. And to have a home filled with grace. So that when our children grow up and leave, and then they start coming back with the grandchildren, that our grandchildren will know that our home is a place of grace where God is honored. Guess what I'm saying, men, when it says love your family? Love each and every one of them. Let's move on to real man responsibility number two from Ephesians 5. Not only are we to love our families, but we're to lead your family. Lead your family. You're the spiritual leader of your family. Now, I know when I read passages and it says, wives, be subject to your husbands, that ladies get uncomfortable. Well, you do understand what that's saying, right, fellas? It's saying that you are the spiritual leader in your home. What does it mean to be the spiritual leader in your home? Well, let's talk about leadership. Leadership rides on three other ships. Let's move to the first of those ships. One of the ships is what I'll just call lordship. If you want to be a leader in your home, the first ship you've got to ride in on is lordship. Look at verses 20 and 22 here of Ephesians 5. Both of those verses speak of the lordship of Jesus Christ. And this passage that has to do with family is written in the context of the lordship of Jesus Christ. I want you to listen very carefully, men. You cannot exercise authority in your home unless you yourself are under authority. If you are going to exercise spiritual leadership in your family, you must understand this Bible principle of the lordship of Jesus Christ. The man has the hardest role in the entire family setting. He does. Now, ladies, you have a different role. But I do believe the man has the hardest role in the family. Because it is ultimately the man's responsibility to yield himself to Jesus and to lead the rest of the family to yield themselves to Jesus. And let me tell you, men, don't expect your family to follow Jesus if you won't. It's not going to happen. That's why your role is the hardest. Because you have to, for your own sake, first of all, make sure that you are completely yielding to Christ before your family will. When I have a couple in marriage counseling, and I hear a complaint from a husband, all my wife does is backtalk me and nag me and da-da-da-da-da, I've heard it 1,000 times. Same song, different verse from folks come to counseling. And I always say, you know why your wife's that way? And he'll start with her long list of faults. I say, no, that's not why she's that way. She's that way because she's reacting to you. And men get mad. They do. They don't like that. Well, you're taking her side. No, I'm not. I'm not taking her side. I'm taking nobody's side. I'm just saying this is what God says. It's your role as the leader. All right. You can't lead your family without the lordship of Jesus Christ in your own life. Let's talk about the second ship that leadership rides in on. The second ship is partnership. Ephesians 5:21, I started with that verse intentionally. Be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Family is a partnership, first between husband and wife. You get this leadership and subjection thing in husband and wife? You do understand we're talking about a partnership, not a dictatorship? It's amazing to me that I have met men who can run businesses, who can run corporations effectively and manage those things well, and their families are a disaster. I found something that one writer wrote about so many men being able to run a business, but yet their families are falling apart. He wrote about this type of man. He said, "The man is active, articulate, energetic, and really successful in his work. But he is inactive, inarticulate, lethargic, and withdrawn at home. This man silently retreats behind newspapers, magazines, television, and highballs in the home." That's an alcoholic drink, folks. "Or perhaps not so silently retreat in affairs, weeknight appointments, and weekend arrangements outside the house." It's a partnership. You can't be an absentee father. Boy, we cry about that there are a million children every year in this country born out of wedlock. And boy, we go, how in the world can there be a million unwed mothers every year in this country? You know what that means? There's a million unwed fathers out there in this country too. And the problem's more with the men than the women. Takes a lot more than the contribution of your DNA, men, to be a father. Do you know of a child born out of wedlock? By age 13, that child is 60% more likely to be involved in crime, drugs, and to be illiterate. Think about that. It's a partnership. God wants children not only to have a mother, but also a father who's committed as a partner in that marriage and making that marriage work. And the third ship that leadership comes in on is headship. The husband, verse Ephesians 5:23, the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. I want you to notice something that Paul didn't say. He did not say that he is the head over the wife. Men sometimes read that wrong, and that's what they think Paul said. He said, head of the wife. Men, you are not a dictator, you're a head-tater. Yeah, you can call your husband a potato head, yeah. You're a head-tater. That means, men, that you are the source of two things: provision and protection. You, sirs, are responsible to provide and protect, provide for and protect your family. I want you to listen to another verse that Paul wrote. He said, "But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." That is 1 Timothy 5:8, if you don't know that verse. 1 Timothy 5:8. God bless some of you parents, especially you fathers. You work hard, you provide for your families. You work hard, you bring in the necessary resources. God bless you. You got in your car today. You might have needed a little more sleep, wanting to relax a little bit. But you brought your sons and your daughters to the house of God. You wanted them to hear the word of God preached. You wanted to hear the word of God taught. And I can't encourage you enough to carry on with that. I applaud you guys that make sure that your family's sitting in the pews or the church chairs every time church time comes. You understand what it means as the head of the family. But you're also a source of protection. That means you're not going to let things in your home that are going to be destructive to your children. It's going to entice them into sin and fill them with the wrong way of thinking about things. You're not going to let them pursue things that are unwholesome. That means you're going to be responsible about where your children go. You're going to care about what your children do. You're even going to be caring about what are the priorities in my child's life. I'm not going to leave the spiritual nurturing and development of my children up to somebody else. I'm the one that's going to make sure they learn the things of the Lord. I'm the one that's going to make sure they get to church when things are going on. And I'm not talking just about Sunday morning or Wednesday night. I'm going to make sure when there's something going on for the youth that they're there. I'm going to make sure that when there's some type of special spiritual emphasis going on at the church, I'm going to make sure that I'm there and my family's there. I want them to be able to take advantage of every opportunity to grow in their relationship with Jesus. I'm fearful as I look around in our communities and our churches today. I'm fearful that there's going to be a lot of dads that are going to reap a very bitter harvest one day because they've been teaching their children that, you know what, my kids' sports league's more important than the things of the Lord. They've been teaching their children that all these other things are more important than the things of the Lord by the way they prioritize their own spiritual life. And those things are going to come back home one day. And it's going to be a bitter day. All right. So we've seen real man responsibility one. We've seen real man responsibility number two. Let's look at real man responsibility number three. And that's to lift your family. This is pretty simple. Look again at verses 25 through 27 there in Ephesians 5. Just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word. And now notice this real carefully. That he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. You see how Jesus is lifting the church? That's the way you're to do your family. Lift your family. Help them grow in their gifts. What are the spiritual gifts of your children, men? Some of you guys are going, What are those things? What are you doing to help them be everything God desires them to be? That's what you want your children to be, right? We saw in chapter 6 and verse 4 here of Ephesians that we're to raise them in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Put it simply, that means the education of the mind and the morals, to be trained in the ways of God, to be trained in the will of God. What is it that God wants for your sons and your daughters? Whatever that is, what are you doing to help them get there? It's a good thing to help your children get an education, isn't it? It's a good thing to help your children become financially secure. It's a good thing to leave them resources behind to help them live financially. I'm not worried about that. My dad told me a long time ago, said, son, don't worry. Your mom and I are spending all your inheritance, so don't expect any of that, okay? Nothing wrong with those things. But listen to me, if that's all you give them, you failed them. If all you give them is knowledge and wealth, you've let them down. Give them Jesus. Give them a spiritual heritage. Give them the understanding that God must come first. I know being a father can be frustrating. There are a lot of hazards and pitfalls that I do not remember being in the wedding vows when I stood there on that day, August 21st, 1993. I got that right, didn't I? Okay. There were some things that weren't in those vows I didn't expect, I didn't see coming. But I know with God's help, we can do it. As I come to conclusion, men, It all starts in the family. You may have tuned me out and quit listening a long time ago in this message, but I want you to tune me back in as I conclude with this. Men, if your faith doesn't work at home, it won't work anyway. If your faith doesn't work at home, it won't work anywhere. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for godly fathers. And Lord, I ask that you would help me as a father to heed the words of this message today for all the fathers here to pick up these three responsibilities to be real men. Father, thank you for our wives that have to put up with us, our wives that love us in spite of ourselves. And God, let us treat them with the honor, dignity, and respect that they deserve. Father, now as we've moved to this time of invitation, I thank you most of all for being our Heavenly Father, who has provided all we need in Christ. And I understand, Lord, that there may be someone here that doesn't know what it means to have you as their Heavenly Father, to be born again as a child in your family. And so, Lord, I pray that during this invitation that they would come and receive your Son, Jesus, as their Savior. Father, for those men who have been challenged by this message, Lord, that they would purpose in their hearts to be obedient to what you've called them to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's stand.